Okay, well, I'm going to count it in and we'll get started.
This is Jeremiah Says. I'm the director of Silence, and I'm here with the Comet Pop Library.
Maze, losing love, losing friends, losing faith in chemicals. Afraid one day you'll find me asleep above the stars. I watch my mother cry, father time is catching up. I keep the phone by my side, afraid you'll wake me up to catch the next flight in time to say goodbye.
To another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And today we have a special guest on with us. It's Jeremy Says, the director and actor of the film Of Silence. We talked about it a few weeks ago, so we're glad to have you on, Jeremy. Jeremiah.
And good way of dodging the other.
It's good to be here. I appreciate it, guys.
Sorry about that. This might be hard. I know Jeremy, so apologize.
Have you ever actually called him Jeremiah yet today?
Yeah, I have. Okay. I haven't been all I bad.
I thought that was the first time I heard Jeremiah today. Sorry.
Maybe it has been. But anyway, let's get back into this. And this is why we record, so I can edit some of this out, Jeremiah. Okay, get back in here. Jeremiah is coming from us. He's actually in Alabama, but he has his home in L.A. as well. He, like I said, he is an independent director and actor. He's also done a few other credits in there. How we came to know Jeremiah was actually through Legends of Nithia, and he was an actor in that, and then he came to us, and we've very much appreciate you giving us a chance to see your film Of Silence. So thank you again for letting us do that, Jeremiah.
You're welcome. I'm glad you guys watched it. Not a lot of people did.
Well, we usually try to watch them together. Sometimes we can't, but this one we actually did get to watch together. And we watch it. We usually, when we watch the movies, it's always with the lights off so we can get in the mood of a movie theater type atmosphere. So. What we're going to get into is some of the spoilers of the film. We'll get into some of your background possibly as well. So it depends on what you want to all talk about.
Okay.
One of the things I do need to clear up, just do some house cleaning. When we did the review, I was going through and you may mention that it was on Amazon and I could not find it. And I found out why. I looked under Jeremiah Says and I found out it's under Silence instead of Silence under Amazon. So to let everybody know out there, if we did locate that, you can go through Amazon and get it that way on DVD. And also, you were kind enough, Jeremiah, to also let it be released through YouTube. So that was kind of unusual. Can you explain a little bit? Were you just wanting to get it out there so everybody can kind of see it and just jump into the water?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
When you released your film on YouTube, that was one of the things that was very nice of you to do. You sent it through us, to watch through there through a private link.
Yeah.
But then you also released it as a public link as well. So I was like, that was a big jump in the water. And it was like, that was really nice of you. And was that intentional? Just taking that big plunge and just going for it?
I did. Yeah. I mean, it's very hard to find the film, and the distribution company that I went with, they didn't really do that good of a job. Mm-hmm. I was just very disappointed with the whole release and everything. And it just never really got out there for people to see.
Okay.
And finally, I just decided, you know, why not just put it out to the public, let people go and find it and watch it. And it was really, the real reasons why I did that is because I have another film that I'm trying to get going, and I want to try to build some kind of audience for that. And to do that, you know, it's good for you know, fans of the horror genre, because it is a horror film as well. You know, to see my work and to hopefully like my work, to want to see more of my work. So that's probably the biggest reason why I put it out on YouTube, so I could try to, you know, find an audience, so I can so it could help me, you know, make more films that I want
to
make.
Well, like I said, it was very cool of you to do that for everybody. So we definitely put it out there when we did the regular review podcast, and we definitely want people to enjoy it, because one of the things that going into it is I let Logan and Jonathan go into it blind. I knew a little bit about it. So, and then we started talking about what all happened, but the way it was structured, you kind of gave reveals through the movie. And if anybody's listening to this, we're going to possibly talk about spoilers, unless Jeremiah says otherwise, then we'll stay away from it. So, but how was that?
It's fine, man.
Okay. Fine. You yourself, we kind of talked about, you had several nice actors, and some of them, you know, had some backing, so it was great to see familiar faces. We were familiar with your face, so it was good to see you again on the film. But the main thing that I asked was, like, how was it to direct yourself? Were you hard to get along with?
Well, I mean, when I wrote the screenplay, when I was writing the character, I basically knew the character inside and out, obviously. I knew exactly what I wanted to do with the character as well, going in, the kind of like beats and stuff that I wanted him to have in each scene, and kind of, you know, his mindset and everything like that. So I basically knew the character before we ever started shooting. I mean, writing the script and everything. But it was something that it was very it wasn't hard, honestly. I hear people saying, well, you know, it's pretty much difficult to go from acting to directing. I also, you know, produced the film as well. So you wear three hats, you know, it can be difficult. And, you know, honestly, I didn't feel it was difficult at all. It was easy for me to go back into character when we started shooting the scene. And it was easy for me to go out of character, to step into the director's shoes, to, you know, talk to the other actors, kind of explain the scenes to them, you know, blocking and all that stuff. So it was pretty easy for me. It wasn't really that difficult, honestly, because like I said, you know, going in, I already knew the character inside and out, so it really wasn't hard to get into, you know, that character and his mindset.
Okay, that's cool.
But I will say, my producing partner Sheila Ryan, she did tell me after we shot the film that she was kind of scared of me a lot of the times.
Well, I know, just watching the film, the looks that you had on your face were sometimes distant, but also, and it fits well because it's a horror film. It almost had a horrific almost aspect and distant. So, and you're a bigger gentleman, so it's like, I can see why they might say that. So, hopefully it was the acting and not the directing you were talking about. But one of the hard things that we kind of talk about, since we're talking about the character, is the difficulty of not having that many lines, and it's your present that has to carry the scene. And I don't know if people realize how difficult that sometimes can be. Could you talk to that a little bit? How you did that? You know, how you prepped and did the scenes like that?
Well, I always had, before we shot like any scene, like every shot that I'm in, like always, I kind of developed a kind of posture for him. Like if you noticed, in every scene, he's always leaning like either to the left or the right, almost like he's got like basically a weight on his shoulders. So there's always like there's some kind of leaning or something that's going on with his posture. So I kind of worked on that, like the way he walks and stuff. I mean, to me, I like characters that don't have a lot of dialogue, because I feel like acting, if true acting is, you know, telling the audience something like through a facial expression, through the eye, where the audience knows exactly what they're feeling, what they want to say, but they don't really have to say it. You know, you can just read it all over their face.
Right.
So, I mean, that to me, I've always, I believe that that's what true acting is. You know, you convey something without ever, you know, saying a word. So, I mean, I just love films like that.
Okay.
And it's something that when I went to acting school, taking the acting classes, that's something I really studied a lot on, is just posture, expression, you know, just kind of reading, like if I'm in a scene with another actor, reading their facial expressions, you know, trying to see something behind their eyes so I can kind of, you know, react off of that without having to say a word, you know. So, I mean, I guess that's where the aspect of the character not having a lot of lines comes from.
Okay. And just to jump back just a little bit, we are speaking of Silence, and this is one where Jeremiah's character comes up and he has develops a ear, either a busted eardrum or equilibrium imbalance, whatever it might be, and then it goes off into the horror-esque atmosphere, and it is a psychological thriller. So just to kind of give a little bit of a basis what we're talking about, and he is a very quiet person as this character, but right. I think Jonathan had a question here.
Oh, was I fidgeting around too much?
Yes, you were.
So, like Richard explained, it was about a scuba diver who had an underwater accident. And that's not something that you normally see in, you know, a typical, like, movie. It's kind of a unique idea. How did you come up with something like that?
Well, I thought it would be interesting because you can't really, like, if you've ever been underwater and water gets in your ears, you hear like this ringing noise, you know?
Oh, yes.
It's kind of like a ringing noise. So it's like, it's almost like, you know, it's like, it's silence, basically. It's like, it feels, I mean, you can't hear anything except this ringing, but it feels like this, like, this weird silence, I guess. And that's kind of like where the title comes from as well. But I mean, I try to be as original as I can in the stories I tell or I write. And I just thought that would be a very interesting thing, because using that throughout the story to kind of explain, you know, the silence because of his hearing, I thought that would really tie in well with the story. And there was a lot that we were actually supposed to shoot at the beach. There was actually supposed to be a scene where you see Kobe, he's swimming, like in the ocean.
Okay.
And we just didn't have the time to do that, and we just didn't have the budget, so that had to be cut. There's actually a lot in the script that had to be cut that kind of explains that aspect of the story more, but because we had such a low budget, we couldn't really do what we really wanted to do. I mean, the house and everything was supposed to be crumbling down by the end of the movie.
Oh.
But, you know, it takes some money to do something like that.
Right.
And unfortunately, we weren't able to do it.
And I almost don't want to ask, but so was it hallucinations, actual little devil beings in the house? But that's the question.
Yeah, that's the spoiler.
I also want to ask, but
that's up to Jeremiah if he wants to reveal that. Did you hear Logan, Jeremiah?
About the hallucinations?
Yes. Yeah. He was wondering if they were actual demons or just all in his mind. And I'll leave that up to you if you want to answer that.
Well,
kind of gives away the whole movie.
The creatures are demons. They are demons, yeah.
Oh.
I will say that. They are
demons. Nice.
So there you go, folks.
Yeah, they're basically... And the hallucinations are kind of like part of the symptom from the demons as well. Because when I first started writing the script, I saw these things as, I thought it was interesting. It probably doesn't really come through that much in the story. I wish I could have done more to convey this aspect I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
But as I was developing the script, the creatures, yes, they are demons, but they have like this ability. I mean, you know people in the street, you see people that are crazy, they're talking, they're just talking, they don't know, like you're like, what are they talking about? It's
right.
Like they're crazy, you know.
Right.
But I mean, like what if there were these things that actually make people go crazy? Mm-hmm. And when they go crazy, it's kind of like they're losing their soul, and these demons come in, and that's their purpose. Their purpose is to make these people go crazy so they can take their souls.
Okay, cool.
That's kind of where the creation of the creatures came from.
To give you a little bit of saying that didn't hurt the story for me, not having that in there, because what it allowed is, as we mentioned in the review, the three of us discussed it. Probably about 30 minutes afterwards, we were talking about what was it. So
I mean, like,
didn't kill the gal that gave him, what was it, cookies? I can't remember.
Cookies?
Gave him something because she was moving in. I can't remember.
True. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Like Richard was saying, I think this was one of the many films that we don't actually talk about a lot of films. This is one of the first films that we actually talked about for 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, for a length of time after viewing.
I kind of remember us doing that a lot.
No, well, we discussed
Legends of Nathaya being another one.
Well, the ones that have questionable. In that regards, Jeremiah, you kind of, because of the budget didn't allow stuff, the way you worked around it for us led to a more interesting film. And so I say you didn't hurt yourself. It actually, for us, added to it. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And like I said, one of the things we talked about was, you know, the aspect of the demons and stuff. Yeah. And it is of silence. You have a lot of silent moments within the film. But one of the things we also commented on is that there are stretches, yes, but you punch in sounds, whether it's growling or kind of
creepy noises,
whatever it might be. And you started it pretty much right away, and we kind of, was that an intentional thing on your part? You wanted the audience right there because of that, the silence, he was like, here's a cookie or here's a little sample, come back for more.
Well, I mean, I was wanting to try to set the tone really early on so people would understand like what kind of movie this is, because you know, the first, I think it's like 10 minutes, there's no dialogue at all.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's just this guy walking around in this house, you know, just like looking at things and things happening.
But
I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, even before you even went into the house, you had a little bit of gurgling sound, kind of like it was underwater. So for me, because I read the little synopsis, I kind of knew what was happening. But for Jonathan Logan, you know, that was kind of placed in there. Mm-hmm. And I just thought the structure of how you did that was well done, because, yes, most people know this is going to be a psychological thriller. It's going to be a slow burn. But you were putting in
a fast slow burn.
Yeah, you were putting in those little chunks and nuggets to, you know, keep the audience invested throughout. So I just want to say that was a good decision on your part. We enjoyed it that way.
If it was a slow burn, it was a burn that continued on as it was going.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate that. but yeah, I wanted to drop little hints, like sounds and stuff, like throughout the film, to kind of, you know, for people, like if they like the movie, they could go back and they could watch it and they could pick up on different things. It's kind of like I tried to create it to be a movie where you have to go back and watch it a few times to kind of just pick up certain things and pick up new aspects of the story, because, you know, I grew up with films like that. I really enjoy watching movies like that, that, you know, you have to go back like two or three times and watch it again to kind of, you know, get the whole aspect of the story and pick up on things that you probably missed in the first or second, you know, viewing of it. So it's really just, Of Silence is really just kind of like, I guess, a love letter to those types of movies.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
Yeah. So when you first brought him into the house, where were you bringing him in from? Like, had he just got released from the hospital, or?
That's one thing I loved about starting the film like that. Like, you see this guy, he's like standing outside his house, and he's got like two briefcases in his hand, and it's like, okay, where did he come from? And it's kind of like a mystery. It's almost a mystery of like, okay, where did this guy just come from? But I don't really know if I want to answer that question, honestly. kind of just leave it in like your head, so you can just kind of just make up something yourself, you know.
There you go.
But if you really honestly want me to ask that, I will. I mean,
no, that's fine. We can leave that alone. That's no problem at all. One of the One of the other aspects that you had in there was telling the story in flashbacks a little bit as well with the wife and everything. And it's like, one of the things we questioned was like, man, was she that cold-hearted? Because it's centered around having children. And it affected you both, but then it was like, she's actually going to kill herself because of this. But then later on, you kind of wonder, well, did you kill her? Because it was kind of like, was this part of the break? Or so that's what got me to thinking. So if you want to mention anything about that, that's a curiosity we had too. It was like, did she actually do the suicide, or was it just a break on your part?
Didn't they actually show her struggling with something, like something was killing her? Or the demons, not really sure.
Right. So there's another one up to you, Jeremiah, if you want to reveal what happened there.
Kobe didn't. He did not kill his wife.
Okay.
I mean, so, as far as me, as far as I believe.
Okay.
But you know, I'm totally up for it. But I mean, I like for people to have their own like answers. But I mean,
headcanons are awesome.
Specifically coming from me. he didn't kill his wife. She didn't even commit suicide. It was the creatures that actually killed her.
Okay.
But cool. But yeah. But I wanted to try to play with the audience for them to go back and forth. As you know, did he do it? Did he not? Did he do it or did he not? You know.
Well, you succeeded in that one. That's for sure. We were debating that.
Yeah, that was one of our talks during.
If you really pay attention to Annabelle, she is a little bit crazy. She did go a little bit crazy there at the end because if you know, when he goes upstairs to look into the bedroom, you see that there's a bedroom for a boy and you see there's a bedroom for a little girl, but they never had kids.
Right.
They couldn't have kids. So why is she creating these rooms for these imaginable kids that they're never going to have?
Because the demons got to her.
Demon kids. There
maybe.
You go. there's your sequel, Demon Kids. There you go.
The rest of the family goes in and tries to recover the house.
Yes. And again, we're talking with Jeremiah Says of Silence that he directed and starred in. So one of the other aspects, we had some questions. And really, this is a mark of what I think is a nice movie and a great feel is when you're leaving with questions because you're like, ooh, what could it be?
So, you have to be satisfied as well. And I thought this one did pretty good.
It was satisfying as well. So that was
if you
great
leave
job.
Them with only questions and no satisfaction, then that's more a bad movie. But you did a good one.
You did a good one, as Logan said. So, but one of the other questions was, we were talking about your character, and it's like, okay, you had your family over during one of the scenes, and the mother comments about you used to go into these, I guess, fogue states, I guess you would call it, or you know, just kind of being off.
Have the demons been there since he was a kid?
Yeah, it's like, like Logan said, were the demons there from a kid? Or kind of what we kind of looked at was like, was it maybe a little bit of a social disorder possibly as well, kind of mixed in?
Don't I remember basically kids drawing thing also appearing at some point, or was that a different movie? It was this one.
Mm-hmm. Might have been a different movie. I don't remember that.
Like in the bathroom or something.
Don't remember that one, Logan.
I might be.
To answer your question, he's always been, ever since he was a little kid, he's always been haunted by these demons. But he was always able to kind of ignore them, kind of block them out. Okay. But after everything happened with his accident, the scuba diving accident, everything started going downhill, and all the stress and anxiety kind of made him weak, and it kind of let the demons kind of, you know, break through, I guess, so to speak. They were able to do more things. Yeah, they were able to do like more things than they ever were. And you know, Haley's basically his little sister is probably the only thing that he has left that he honestly really cares about. And that's why, you know, by the end they kind of, you know, they go after her because they think, you know, if they go after her, then he has no, you know, he has to, like,
he's lost his last
give us of his soul, basically, if he wants to save her. So, and that's basically what he does at the end of the movie. He sacrifices himself for his sister, and he lets the demons have his soul, and that's it.
No, that's we were trying to figure out that scene, and he explained it.
Oh, yeah. One of the things you mentioned to your sister, and one of the things I had fun with, and I didn't go back and rewatch to check on this, but I could have swore when you guys were playing cards that you double drew. Well, I don't know if you remember actually doing that.
I did.
Or it's like cheating your little sister. What's going
you know,
on?
You know, listening to you guys' review on it, and you said that, and I actually went back and I watched it, and I totally did. I totally did the double draw.
Oops. So we were paying attention, see?
We shot that scene. That scene was one take each setup.
Okay.
Like we shot it like it was like, yeah, it was like each setup we had, I think we had four setups, and each setup it was one take, one and off.
Cool.
All four.
Nice. That's good. Cool. That's the same time.
It was a little. It's funny because it's actually pretty funny because right before we started shooting the film, that scene, I totally forgot like everything. Like I just went blank. And there's a moment where it's silent for about 5 or 6 seconds, and that's where I went blank. Like I forgot everything, and then after those 5 or 6 seconds, everything just instantly just came back to me, and then I said my line, and then we finished
is a good thing you were in this movie.
So now that I know this, I've got an interesting question to ask him. Was that one line of hers like, "Are you okay?" Was that premeditated, or did she just like actually say that since she had forgotten everything? Or was that actually in the script?
No, that was actually in the script, yeah. It was.
Well, then I guess it made sense. I mean, you spacing out was actually pretty good.
Perfect movie for something like that to happen in. So, good job.
There you go. How was the chemistry with all the different actors? Did you enjoy your time?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Oh, I was just asking, with the chemistry with all the actors, did you enjoy your time with everybody?
Oh, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. Like, Muse and Ashley and Najara and Matthew. All of them are great, man. I really enjoyed working with them. And me being a first-time director, and especially having, like, Muse and Matthew, like, two. Like, I mean, they've done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, they were just so cool to work with and so patient and everything. Like they never questioned anything. Like, you know, they treated me with a lot of respect, even though I was a first timer. And that was really cool. Like I really appreciated that.
Oh, very neat. That's cool.
So, and Ashley working with Ashley, who played my sister, she was so fun to work with. And actually, Of Silence is the last thing she's done. She went off and she got married, and now she has a kid and everything. And that was the last film that she done. I don't know if she's gonna do any more acting or anything, but I was a little surprised because I thought she was wonderful.
Yeah, we enjoyed all the performances. Yeah. We really liked all of them. I have to ask,
yeah,
did you get the Proby slap on the back of the head?
That I get a Kobe slap on the back of the head?
The Proby.
Proby, because of his being with the NCIS.
Do what?
When Gibbs always gives
No. I did not know.
Oh, man.
You know, it's funny. I was a fan of Muse because of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay.
Like I've never been a big NCIS fan, so
okay.
I never really watched him that much on that show. So I was a big fan of his. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay. I just figured it must have. Surely that would have came up somewhere, but
you know, it's a funny fact. My producing partner, she went to the screening of I Am Bruce, you know, the movie with Bruce Campbell.
Okay.
And
yes.
After the screening, she took him the script of the Silence and gave it to him, and he actually took it.
Cool.
And so we almost got Bruce Campbell to play my father.
Nice. The son of Ash.
Just a fun fact there.
Yeah, that would have pretty been cool too. Like I said, the son of Ash. Here we go. Tie it all in.
Yeah, yours is actually a far-flung sequel to Evil Dead.
I would have loved that. Yeah, that would have been cool.
An unofficial tie-in. But with some of your other stuff, we've noticed that you had something, Woe Be Gone is in the works. Can you mention anything about that? Or what are you working on currently?
Yeah, Woe Be Gone is another film of mine. It's something I've been working on for a couple of years. Also have another one called Extranian. That one is probably going to be, I'm probably going to be more focused on that film because of, just because of budget reasons. Woe Be Gone is a much bigger budget movie.
Okay.
But Woe Be Gone, it has to do with the Bogeyman legend.
Oh,
the Bogeyman.
Cool. Okay.
It's a twist on that. It's about this father and husband. He's found not guilty of his daughter's disappearance and his wife's death. And after he's found not guilty, he starts investigating the whole, like, the incident, like both incidents, what happened and stuff. And it kind of leads him to this crazy,
okay.
This crazy horrifying truth.
One of the parents after a horror movie that wasn't in the horror movie now gets to try and find out what happened in the horror movie.
There you go.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good one. I like that.
What did you say the title of that one was again?
That one's Woe Be Gone.
That one was Woe Be Gone. Okay. And what was the other one you said you were working on as well?
The other one, it's called Extranian. It's about a Marine. It's actually funny because I wrote that from a nightmare I had, and that whole story came from this nightmare that I had.
Okay.
And it's about a Marine. He encounters this mysterious figure on the road, and because of his moral code, he gets caught up in this whole mystery that leads him down this path where this person that he's seen may not be human at all. Okay. So it's a really interesting story.
Okay.
Because my nightmare was I was driving down this road. It's like a barren road, and up ahead there's like a bridge. In the distance there's like a bridge that, you know, it crosses this big kind of like, so it's not a river, but it's a swamp. It's like a swamp. And what happens is my car breaks down, and I pull over to the side of the road, and I pull out my phone to make a call. But I never realized when I put my phone on charge that the charger wasn't even working. So basically, the battery on the phone died. Yeah. So I couldn't call anyone. So I started walking to try to get some help, and I come upon this car that's parked on the side of the bridge, and this huge like dark figure is like standing by the rails, and I'm about to say something, and then as soon as I'm about to say something, I see like these white sheets that are like covered in blood, and then this huge like figure bends down, picks up one of these sheets, and throws it off the bridge into the swamp. But before then, before I get to the car, there's a sign on the side of the street that says beware alligators. Mm-hmm. It's because the waters are like, it's alligator infested waters. Mm-hmm. So what happens after I see him throw this whatever over the bridge into the water, I go back to my car, and I'm actually in a truck. I have a truck, and I have like this like shotgun on a rack that's attached to the back windshield. And so I get back to the truck, and as soon as I get back to the truck, I see the car is coming like right in my direction. So I so I jump inside the truck really quick. I grab the shotgun, and then I open the glove compartment, get some shotgun shells, and I slide out the passenger side. As soon as I get out of the passenger side, I shut the door, and I crawl over to the passenger side wheel. And as soon as I get to the wheel, the car passes, or it's actually a truck. The guy's driving a truck, too. The truck passes, and he stops, and he gets out, and he starts looking around, but he never sees me. I'm able to actually get inside the bed of his truck, and I'm actually able to hide. And then I'm riding down this road, and then this guy stops, and I hear like this door open, and then he gets back in the truck, and it starts going a little bit further, and it stops again, and then I hear this door like closing, and then I get out, the guy leaves, and I'm able to get out of the bed of the truck, and I'm like in this place, it's like a nightmare, and that's kind of like the last thing I remember about that nightmare, and that's where Extranium came from. That's the whole basis of that story.
You have some vivid dreams there. Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy because as soon as I woke up, I was like already had the whole script in my head. I was like, wow. I was like this never happened to me.
You have a good memory of the memorable part. Because I can remember some parts of my dreams, and yeah, they can be that vivid easily.
The funny thing is, that's the only dream I've ever remembered like that. Like, I've never remembered a dream that vividly. It's really strange.
So are you one that works off your dreams if you wake up at night or from a nap, whatever, at any time, and you have your notebook there, or go run into the keyboard and start typing it in?
I woke up, it was the middle of the night, and I remember just sitting up, and I'm just like staring into the darkness because it's still dark, you know? And I'm just like, what the hell just happened? and then it all just came back. It felt like a film reel. It just kept like all these images started just going, just flashing through my mind. And I'm like, oh, and then I remember, I know exactly what the story is. It's like, this is like a script. It's like, and then I started writing. I got up, okay, got on the computer, and I just started just like writing everything down that I remember.
Cool.
And it's just weird because, I mean, I've heard stories where writers have done that before. They would wake up in the middle of the night.
Right.
And would just start writing because this idea just popped into their head. But in my case, it was like this freaking nightmare. It's just crazy. I don't know. But, as soon as I woke up, first thing I thought was, what the hell just happened? And then everything just started flashing back, and cool. I just jumped out of my bed and got to the computer and started just jotting everything down.
Cool.
It was a mess too, like when I finished, just a mess.
Yeah, but then you can go back and clean it up though later. So
Exactly.
So you're working on Woe Begone for the next one, and Extranium will be the possibly later on down the road then?
I think he was saying
that. Yeah, Extranium will be the...
Extranium will be the next one. He's...
Okay, we had you talked over, Jeremiah. Extranium. Sorry.
No, it's just fine. Yeah, Extranium will be the next one, yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll go for Woe Begone. Okay. It's because Woe Begone was going to be my next film, but this thing just... It was unexpected. Like, it was just like, bam. It was like so unexpected.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with it. I just fell in love with the story. And as I started organizing all the notes and everything, I started putting together, like, you know, a treatment. And then that's when I came up with the whole Marine thing. And I just fell in love with everything.
Cool.
Because I worked off of what the dream I had, but all the stuff I added in, I just totally fell in love with it. It's like my
your opus.
It's like my, I don't want to say predator, but it's kind of like that, kind of okay. close to that. But it's
cool.
It's more really about the suspense than about anything else.
Cool.
And just like because the main character when he gets to the place where this guy is, where this guy, you know, lives or whatever you want to call it. Like, he's like maneuvering through like these corridors, these rooms, and he's basically just kind of picking up bits and pieces of who this person is, you know. And it's like a detective movie, but a very different kind.
Okay. Well, that works. There's nothing wrong with that, by golly.
And then it turns into like a horror movie, and then it kind of turns into an action movie.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That'd be cool. Okay, well, we've taken up quite a bit of your time here. I told you we'd let you go pretty soon. So, is there anywhere, Jeremiah, that fans or anybody that wants to keep up with what you're doing, is there any sites? Don't know if you have a Facebook page primarily dedicated to your works. Where can they kind of keep up with what you're doing?
They can find me on Facebook. They can friend me if they want. It's fine. I accept I accept fans, basically, people that want to connect because of film-related stuff. I also, there's also Of Silence Facebook as well. It's Of Silence Facebook page.
Okay.
And, yeah, they can find me on Instagram as well. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use Twitter that much. I don't know. Okay. I'm not a big Twitter guy. But right now I'm actually creating my own production company, and okay. I'm gonna have a website for that. I'm gonna have a Facebook page for that, and it's gonna solely be dedicated to all my films that I want to do.
Okay, cool.
And it's gonna be pretty interesting. I'm kind of excited for that.
So you don't mind me putting your personal Facebook link on the show notes then?
Yeah, go ahead. It's fine. Okay. It's totally fine.
I know some people don't like to do that.
They can also go to my YouTube account as well, the one that Of Silence is on, the one I released it on. They can go to that as well.
Okay.
I don't even think I have any subscriptions on that, but I mean they can go there if they want to.
Okay. make sure to put those links in there as well. So yeah, we're pretty much wrapping it up here. I do want to do some house cleaning as well before we leave. We've been trying to do this when we feature some of the music that we've been doing. The opening song was Great Big Storm by Nate Ruiz, and then we also did one of his songs, Carry On, the acoustic version when he was the lead singer of Fun. So we want to mention that as part of our deal. So, but Jeremiah, this has been fun. I hope you've had fun with us.
Yeah, man, this has been a blast, man. This is actually the first interview I think I've ever... Yeah, it's the first interview I've done. So I appreciate you guys having me on. It was really fun.
We definitely would like to stay in touch with you and what you're going to be doing and play again with you sometime and see what's happening. So
both movies you're working on sound very interesting, honestly.
Yeah, both movies sound really good, so we're definitely interested in... seeing those, so it's cool. Very cool, very cool.
I'll definitely
share some stuff with you guys. I should be having a few things done with the film. I'm having a poster done and stuff like that, so I'm having a few things done with both the film, so I could definitely share all that stuff with you guys if you want.
That'd be cool. We definitely will get it out there and help promote, because basically what we want to do is just have fun with everybody and share the love around, because we like to enjoy everybody and enjoy the movies, or since you're in the movie industry, we enjoy the movies or whatever we're talking about that given time. So we definitely appreciate you coming to us and letting us view the movie. That was very nice of you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys having me. I appreciate you guys watching the movie and talking about it. That was really awesome. That was great. It's kind of sad because I don't think a lot of people liked it. I mean, IMDb ratings not that great.
Well, I think some of them went into it not realizing what it was, and that's why we try to put the emphasis on it's a psychological thriller. Know what you're getting into, because I think some of them were thinking it was going to be this big action horror, and it's a different genre.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll definitely push it out there, and anything else you kind of send us our way, whatever endeavors it is, whether it's your own work or something that you're in for somebody else, let us know about it, and we'll help promote it. We love helping up people whenever we can, so definitely keep us in mind.
Awesome. Sounds wonderful. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, we've been visiting with Jeremy Says. He is... Start that again. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Gah.
Oh. I wonder how many times that mistake's happened.
Hopefully not too many.
I honestly don't remember. I don't pay much attention to the actual names that much.
Let me see if I can do this again correctly. We've been visiting with Jeremiah Says. He's the director and actor of Silence. We appreciated him letting us view that and talk with him tonight. Keep up with him. Some of the future works he's looking at is Extrinium and also Will Be Gone, so keep an eye out for those in the future. You can go to his Facebook page, his Of Silence Facebook page and YouTube page, YouTube channel. We'll give links to that in our show notes so you can keep up with those and keep up with Jeremiah and what he's doing. But keep on having fun and watching the movies. The independents are a great source to really find some good stuff and really have fun with your viewing. So, but again, Jeremiah, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. We've been having fun. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us visit with Jeremiah. We'll catch everybody on the flip side. Bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
the sound to silence the cars. We're cutting like knives in a fist fight. And I found you with a bottle of wine, head in the curtains, and heart like the 4th of July. You swore and said, we are not shining stars. This I know, I never said we are. Though I've never been through hell like that, I've closed enough windows to know you can never look back. If you're lost in a fog, or you're sinking like a stone, carry on, on, on. May your past be the sound of your feet upon the ground, and carry on, on, on. Carry on, carry on. Friends at the edge of the night, at a bar of 75. And we talked and talked about how our parents will die, all our neighbors and wives.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.